Okay. Mana income, mashkon income. Somehow it doesn't work. Aser, Rav Lev Nachman, kitchen mashkon kudeshes. Don't we see giving a mashkon is valid? Hasu mashkon achir. That's not talking about saying, I'll owe you money giving a mashkon. That's talking about you already lent a third party money, and the third party owes you and gave you a mashkon, and you transfer that mashkon to the woman. Right, Yitzchak says, how do we know that if I lend someone money, I'm kone the mashkon that they hand over to me? Because it's called tzedakah when I return it to the guy to use when he needs it. And if it wouldn't be mine, it wouldn't be called tzedakah to return it to him. Therefore, we see that I'm kone the mashkon, and therefore, if I lend money to Yankel, and I take a mashkon, and I give it to the girl as kedushin, since I own that mashkon, that's a valid kedushin. B'nei Rav Huna Bar Oven, now we get back to the first point. Zoven Hahu Amsa Bit Priti. The sons of Rav Huna Bar Oven bought a certain maidservant for a certain number of prutos. Lo Havli Badai, they didn't have any change on them. So I Osui Naskali, instead they gave a like block of silver as a mashkon. But Sofi Yakar Amsa, in the end, the price went up in the shuk, and they were going to buy for $100, and the price went up to $200. So the seller wanted to back out, says you weren't kona yet. They said, but we were kona, we gave you a mashkon. So, he said it's the exact same case that we started with from Rav in the name of Rav Nachman. It's not a valid kinyan because you didn't give the prutos, and the mashkon doesn't count. Okay, as we've seen, there's a fundamental machlokas rishonim. What is the meaning of mana inkan, mashkon inkan? Why is this not a valid kinyan? So, a bit of a das yachid is quoted in the Me'iri and in the also in the Hagos Raimondi, also in the Shut in the back of the Rambam, which I did not put on the sheet, and also it's found in the Itter himself, is the Me'iri quoting the Baal HaItter. The Me'iri quoting the Baal HaItter says, let me just see if I can find in this version. Sorry, give me half a second. Yeah, the Gdoli, what is the Gdoli Provencia? Where is it in this one? Oh, you have a deep rope. Oh, got it. Okay, there it is. I was looking at the wrong page. Gdoli Provencia, which is, oh, this one, it says parentheses, tells you the theater, and the other one is footnotes. Mosim and Kurev and Amaisa, where I'm sitting, so Shamash will hiss the Mishasa Mechel, you can ask the Mishasa Mechel. Ela Akar Shom, Shom, who came, oh, hiss the Mishasa Mechel, ha yaha Mechel, Mechel. Okay, so the Itter says, really it would work. Really the way I describe the scenario, the way everyone else described the scenario works. If I say to a woman, you're a pedestrian with $100 and here's my iPhone is a mashkon, then that's a valid kinyan. After all, I've given her something of value. Now she has a mashkon, she can collect $100 with it. So what does our Gemara mean? Our Gemara means, excuse me, our Gemara means that I said, Harim Kadesh Li Mamana. I'll owe you a mana, and you'll be Mekadeshes to me. And she says, fine, I don't give her anything. That's clearly not a valid Kedushin. And then he has to put like a little pause, Armali Kadesh Li Mamana, pause. And then later on I come and I give a mashkon. The fact that I come later on and give a mashkon is too late. At the time, it wasn't a valid kedushin. Giving a mashkon later is not able to resurrect that invalid kedushin, and therefore it doesn't work. But he turns this gemara into a more trivial psak. Well, if at the time I give you absolutely nothing, then it doesn't work, even if later on I give you a mashkon.
What would be the havamina that later on anything would help?
What would be the havamina that later on anything would help is a... is a good question. So here, maybe we'll have to add a little to the itter. the okay, the problem is here, I never owed her the money in the first place, right? I said, I owe you $100, you're Mekudesha. She's not Mekudesha, I don't owe her the $100, right? There's nothing going on. It's an invalid condition. If it's invalid, I don't owe her any money.
You might owe her to
No, I don't. I understand. If I say I owe you money because I think I'm going to accomplish something, I don't accomplish anything. Of course, I don't owe you money.
But maybe it's not for free. What? We learned before. We hold it for one day. It's a continuous process.
Okay. Okay, correct. So the havmina is that it's a continuous process. At the time, I'm not accomplishing anything. But later on, when I actually pay you the mashkon, that becomes valid. And kamashkon, no. Since at the time it was not valid, even giving a mashkon later doesn't help.
Olakamona means you're continuing without a headache.
I understand. I definitely understand. I definitely understand what you're saying. The answer is, let me say a little better. What's the havmina here? I would say the havmina here is that when I say, according to the Itter, when I say you're Mekudeshes to me, you're agreeing to be Mekudeshes to me for a money, right? And then later on, when I give a mashkon, the havmina now is that you haven't changed your mind, I haven't changed my mind, so the das is still there. Now I'm doing the maisa of giving you a mashkon. And that's not an unreasonable havamina. You know, it's like if I said to you, be Mekudesh to me when I give you $100. And I give you $100. So that is, so that might be reasonable. Right? I can, we can set the terms beforehand and do the Maisa afterwards. So then he's telling us that no, that even, and as a matter of fact, it sounds to me from the Itter, like Vaitzeriat Mekudesh Li Bamane. And then later on went to give her the money. It wouldn't be valid kedushin if she didn't change her mind. It wouldn't be valid kedushin if she didn't change her mind. It could be that obviously she can change her mind. It could be that the chiddush is that since I said you'll be mekudesh to me for a money, then you might want to have a mina that when I say a money, I mean something that will end up corresponding to a money. And therefore, whether I give you the money or whether I promise you the money or whether I assure you the money is good enough, kamashal in the answer to no. When I said money, we meant only to give you a money. And therefore, if I give you a mashkon for it, I haven't fulfilled the terms of our earlier deal. If I said originally, I'll owe you a money, here's a mashkon, then that's the deal we agreed on. That's good enough. The havmina is, if I say a money and give you a mashkon, we have the das beforehand, the maisa now, and maybe those correspond. Kamashla, no. When I said a money, I meant a money. I didn't mean a mashkon. So the original das was for a money. The maisa later was a mashkon. Those don't match. You never agreed to take a mashkon explicitly, so that doesn't work. So that is the shitas yachid of the Itter. Let's say again, mekadesh es ha'isha b'mane b'nosein la mashkon miyad. Right. So the shitas yachid of the Itter is mekudeshes. That's the shitas yachid of the Itter, that she is mekudeshes. After all. Right? What might be a good reason why the Itter would think she's Mekudeshes? Anyone tell me, any place in Shas, why you might think the Itter would be reasonable? And he says, our case is a weird case. It's Amr Lisha, Amr Liskachli B'mane. Wait a few weeks. Then Nasan L'mashkin Aleh. It's a little bit of a, I don't know, who's the thing, what's the hook? But it's not the way most people understand this line in the Gemara. Why does he reinterpret the line in the Gemara? Because apparently he thinks that if I give her a mashkon right away, that's a perfectly fine kedushin. Why might he think it's a perfectly fine kedushin?
Because you're creating an epilchot, and that's like the Gemara Mem Zayin.
Ah, maybe because of the, it doesn't say exactly, but maybe because of the Gemara in Daf Mem Zayin. What does it say in the Gemara in Daf Mem Zayin? They have a machlul kastanam. I'm not going to read it inside, just summarize it, as many of the Rishonim here do very nicely. There's a machlul kastanam about hiskachli b'shtar chov. I give her a shtar chov. What does that mean? So in the end, the Gemara decides it means I have a shtar chov from a third party and I transfer, you know, like when you endorse a check, right? So I have a check.
Is that what that is?
What?
Is that what that is?
I mean, they didn't have checks. Exactly.
No, I mean, like, is that what it is nowadays? Is that what you're saying?
Ah, so this is very complicated. In America, a check is not technically a shtar chov. In Israel, a check may or may not be a shtar chov. That depends whether you write lamutav bilvad or not. But let's say you write a check in Israel. That's the law. I didn't make the law. Let's say you write a check in Israel. You don't write lamutav bilvad. Then that is a shtar chov. Right? It's not just like a suggestion or promise that you will give the guy money. If I write you a check without the word lamutav bilvad in Israel and hand it over to you, that is a shtar chov. If I cancel the check, I'm a thief and I've committed a crime of theft and I could be arrested. Because I owe you the money. Okay, and what can the guy do if it doesn't say lamutav bilvad? He can sign on the back of the check and transfer it to someone else, right? That's what's called ksiva mesira in the Gemara. Rav Papa might require a few more words, but more or less. So anyway, the Gemara here talks about endorsing, transferring a debt to someone, a third party. What was his name? Yankel. Yankel owes me money, so I give his check to, or his IOU to the girl, and say I write mekudeshesly. And there's a whole machlokus, is she mekudeshes or not? But the gist of the Gemara is clear. Fundamentally, can I be mekadesh the girl by transferring a debt to her or not?
Yes,
that, again, there's not an argument. Call the Rishonim, you're safe. Fundamentally, I can. The only problem is there might be some technical problems, like, for example, did I transfer the debt properly or not? According to our Papa, I have to have a certain language in endorsing the check, and what if I don't have the proper language? Or a side problem in Talmudic law, as opposed to the Israeli law I just mentioned, even after I transfer the debt, the guy can still cancel the check. So maybe she doesn't speak Hasdas because she thinks that the guy will not the guy can cancel the check. No, that's silly. But what I meant is that in Talmudic law, unlike modern Israeli law, the person the check was first written to can be mochel, can cancel the check. So therefore, the husband can cancel the check forgive the check he transferred her. So then the technical problem, does she count on getting the money? Does she think he'll cancel? Can he cancel? Can he not cancel? Will he cancel? The odds are, knowing human nature, will he not? There's all these technical problems going on there surrounding two things. Number one, has he actually successfully transferred the debt to her using all the legal mechanisms? And number two, has he transferred that debt to her permanently, or is there still an option of canceling it? But fundamentally, you can do kiddushin with a debt. It's a mafurish gemara on daf mem zayin amid beis mem chesam and aleph. Fundamentally, if I successfully take a check or an IOU and endorse it and transfer it to the woman in a way that's legally valid and that's irrevocable, then I have been mekadesh her. So fundamentally, you don't need to have the money in hand in order to be mekadesh. You can be mekadesh a girl with making her a creditor, giving her shibudim, giving her the right to collect. That's a Gemara on Nafim Zayim and Beis. You can, and not only that, that's with a shtar, and then the Gemara continues and says, even without a shtar, if there's a valid mechanism of Mechesem and Aleph of transferring the debt, you can do kiddushin with it. And that's the case of Mamad Shlashtan, right? If Yankel, me, and the girl are standing together, with just words, I can say, Yankel, the money you owed me, now you owe her. And the Gemara says, if that's a valid method of transfer, which is controversial, then it's a valid method of kiddushin. So, number one, why would the Itzer think mekudeshes? He is a good svar why he thinks mekudeshes. Because fundamentally, we see from Daf Mem Zayin, Amud Beis, that transferring a milveh b'shtar and making it now owed to her is valid. If I work out the technicalities, a milveh bal peh, if I transfer and make it owed to her, that's valid. And, of course, the next line in our Gemara, Mashkon da'achirim, if I milva ala mashkon, if I transfer, Yankel owes me money and I have a mashkon, I have his, silver candlesticks, right? And I transfer those candlesticks to her and transfer the indebtedness to her, then that is valid. So we see that a woman can be mekudeshes by a valid acquisition of a debt or a mashkon, even though she hasn't received money yet. She's just received the right to collect the money. That's good enough. And I think that's why the Itter, it's not Pashup Shat in our Gemara, but whenever someone says it's not Pashup Shat, they must have a good reason, right? People are not just looking to say strange things. Because it's it's proven that a debt or mashkon, right? Well, mashkon is also a debt. Let's say this. It's proven that the right to collect a debt can be used as kesef kiddushin. Where is this proven from? Daf ben Zayin Amud Beis talking about a milvah without a mashkon, and the next line in our Gemara talking about a milvah with a mashkon, right? Mem Zayin Amud Beis talks about milvah bishtar and milvah bal peh, each of which have their own ways of transfer. And Daf Ches Amud Beis mashkon da achira. After all, if I give her my own mashkon, or I give her someone else's mashkon, if I give her the right to collect the debt for me, or the right to collect a debt from someone else, either way, she's received the same thing. I think that seems controversial, right? If I give her a mashkon and now she has a mashkon to collect from me, or I give her a mashkon and she collects from Chaim Yankel, she has the same thing. If I give her the fact that I owe her money, or that from Zion, I give her the right to collect money from someone else, she has the same thing. So if she has the same thing, then why doesn't it work in our case? And that's why the Ipsa says it does work in our case. What did Rava mean that it didn't work? And what did Rava mean that it didn't work? He meant a weird case where I say one thing, and then you agree to take a mana, and then later on I give a mashkon instead, and I didn't do exactly what I said, and that doesn't work. But if I said what I meant, it meant what I said, and I said, here, I'll owe you money on a mashkon. Is that acceptable to you? And you say yes. That's a valid kiddushin because you've received an item of value. After all, there's a market for debt, right? Some debt's worth more, some debt's worth less, but every debt's worth money. even Greek debt is worth, right, some amount of pennies on the dollar, right?
Nowadays, it's worth a lot more because okay. They take on all the refugees, so their debts are settled up.
Okay, good. We should have bought it all beforehand.
That's right.
Okay, that's where the iter is coming from.
So,
I haven't said anything yet.
No, I know, but even after his man, I'm not sure exactly what's the issue. Okay, so after his man, he's just going to give me a mashkon on this one.
Okay, that's a great question. Why doesn't it work even to give the mashkon afterwards, according to the... why doesn't it work even to give the mashkon afterwards, according to the Bala Iter? Which he doesn't fully explain, and the Iter himself also inside, if you look also, he doesn't fully explain. I'm speculating that perhaps it's because... since she agreed to be Kadesh with a mana and didn't initially agree to a mashkon, then when I give her later a mashkon, I can't assume she agreed to be Kadesh with a mashkon. Maybe she only agreed to hold this mashkon until I give her the mana to be Kadesh. She never, I'm saying it's a gam in her das. She never explicitly agreed to be Kadesh with a mashkon. Oh, she took the mashkon? That doesn't mean she's agreeing to be Kadesh. That just means she wants to get the process started.
You see the same thing in the beginning. You give people who actually make the money.
No, because...
She wants that money. What's
the okay, fair enough. So I'm going to have to make an umdana. Okay.
That's just like it's...
I'm just going to make a psychological assumption then, or maybe we can have a different shot.
Why do we say we can extrapolate from a mashkon of somebody else to mashkon to the husband? We have many cases in the Gemara where it says she's not bayish to tell this guy, I'm not giving it to you, give me the money. But for the husband, he wants his mashkon, she'll give it back to him. So she might not have the same das as the other. So you can't extrapolate.
Okay, that's an interesting point. And Morty's saying maybe there's a difference between Achirim and him, because if she gets the right to collect money from Chaim Yankel, she'll collect the money. If she gets the right to collect money from her husband, she might be intimidated to ask for it. I hear that. The only reason why I haven't seen any of Rishonim say that,
yeah,
and neither of you.
Right. It's all over the place that there's a big difference between Mashko,
yes, but not for the reason that Morty said. The reason is, I think, because what it says later on in the Gemara on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph explicitly is that if he gave me 99, he owes me one, then the woman's embarrassed to ask for the last one. But if he owes her 99, she's not embarrassed. So the Gemara Mem Zayin Amud Aleph seems to assume she's only embarrassed to like ask for the small last amount, which is like a little pasnish. But to ask for all the money, she's not embarrassed. Okay, so that's maybe why they didn't say what he said.
The Iter's pshat makes the sugya flow from the previous sugya much more naturally than the other Rishonim.
That is an interesting point. Although even according to the other Rishonim, it's not so crazy. It's still talking about owing her money.
Yeah,
but, okay, but I hear the time.
More
okay, fair enough. I hear the time. That's a valid point. Now I want to get to the main machlokes Rishonim in the beginning of our sugya, which is, so what's the problem? Right? The answer says there's no problem. But everyone else says there is a problem. So what's the problem? So there are two main drachim of understanding. So what's the problem, right? Shah Rishonim say, Eina Mekudeshes. But why not? Now, of course, I already framed the question. After all, if receiving the debt of someone of a third party is considered a valid receipt of Kesef Kedushin, so why isn't receiving the husband's debt considered valid debt? Validly transferred debt considered valid Kesef Kedushin. So what are the two basic shittas here? Right, okay, or let's even start with the Rush to make it very simple. Right? The Tosos Rush, by the way, is the exact same as the Rush. Okay, the Rush and the Ramban, or in some places they used to call this the Rush and the Rash, but it all depends, like, you know, more than what we showed them they had published. But the Rush versus the Ramban and the Rash.
Rashford doesn't say the same thing.
As the Ramban.
Oh,
the Ramban. I meant versus.
Okay.
So the Rush versus the Ramban of the Rash, but obviously you can add lots of people to either side, but let's start with that. What does the Rush say? The Rush says, after all, haven't you given her a valid item of value, a mashtone she can use to collect the debt? And the answer is? No, it's not valid. This is an invalid way of creating debt. When I transfer her the mashtone of a third party, that is a valid way of creating debt. In Dachmim, Zion, Amin Beis, they work out the technicalities to make sure it was a valid transfer. It only works if it's a valid transfer. You have to cross your I's and cross your T's and dot your I's the way Rav Papa tells you. But over here, it's not valid. Says the Rush, I say I'm going to owe you money. That's not valid. I can't just say I'm going to owe you money. I need a kinyan in order to owe you money. Ah, but I give you a mashkon. Isn't that valid? The answer is no. That's not valid because you can't give a mashkon unless you have a debt. A mashkon has to build on a chov. Here, mana inkan, I don't owe you the money. What? Okay, let's hold that. I don't owe you the money. Minasam, at least. I don't owe you the money, and mashkon inkan. If I don't have a chov, then I can't make a mashkon, at least not by saying this is a mashkon. Right? So that's the Rush. The Rush says that... one second... yes, says the Rush, the problem is that it's not a valid debt or mashkon in the first place. Why? Because you can't create a debt with words. Right? I can say whatever I want. Right? But just as I say I'm going to owe you $100, I don't owe you $100. And that's not only about Kedushin. Let's say I say, I want to buy your house. I'll owe you $1 million now. It's my house. That doesn't work. I have to, actually, that doesn't work because I don't really owe you $1 million. And you can't create a mashkon without a pre-existing... When I say pre-existing, it can also be simultaneously created debt. Right? You can't create a mashkon without all the cases of mashkon are when I lend you money, you owe me the money, then you give me a mashkon. You owed me money, then gave me a mashkon. Or, according to everyone but the Rif, who says a kinyan suitor can create a debt, we do a kinyan suitor that you owe me money, and then you give me a mashkon. That's valid. You first owed me money, and then gave me a mashkon. But if you don't owe me money, then there's no such thing as a mashkon. A mashkon is only something to ensure payment of a debt. If there's no debt, there's no mashkon. The mashkon is tuffel to the debt. If there's no debt, there's no mashkon. That's what the Rush says. And who agrees with the Rush?
Probably
Tosos. Okay, Tosos is complicated, but the Raavad agrees with the Rush. Again, in a Zom case, right? The Rush, the Raavad, and I think on the Makor sheet was the Ritva, right? The Ritva quoted the Raavad. A few people quoted the Raavad. They all agree with this derech that the problem is that you've never created. Yeah, Luyatir, I gave her a debt. I gave her a way to collect the debt. That would be fine. but I haven't given her anything because it's an invalid debt, it's an invalid mashkon, and I've given her nothing. And at least many achronim read Rashi this way also. Rashi's lashon is a little unclear, says Rashi. I wish I understood Rashi a little better. Top Rashi. Mana inkan, hilkoch mashkon eino shave kan klum, or eino shave klum, she'ena mashkon matana. There's no money, and therefore the mashkon is not worth anything, because it's not a matana. So Rashi's lashon is not 100% clear. But the way the Karban Asanal reads him, at least, is he says he is like the Rush. He says, since I don't owe you a money, the mashkun is not worth anything because I haven't given to you as matana and it's not anything. It's not so clear what Rashi means, but that's the way the Karban Asanal reads him. Since there's no money, therefore the mashkun is worthless because I haven't given it to you. Yes?
You think what Rashi is talking about that doesn't work is you might have thought that by giving the mashkun is actually. It's sort of like a chalipa, you're creating the debt. Yeah. It's like you're giving them a ton and you get...
And kamash, why not? You need the debt
same
first.
Not, but that's...
Right. So this is Rashi, Lefi, Karban Asanal again. I cannot promise you exactly... Rashi clearly meant something, because this is like such an obvious question. You have to see what the Gemara means. Not like some side kasha that maybe he never thought you had to answer. This is just shot in the Gemara. What exactly is Rashi trying to say? I can't promise you, but the Karban Asanal says he's saying the same thing as the Rush. Okay, what's the other option? The other option is, what did we say, the Ramban and the Rashva? The Ramban and the Rashva. What do the Ramban and the Rashva say? The Ramban and the Rashva say, what's the problem? They imply pretty strongly that they imply pretty strongly that this is a valid creation of a debt. It is a valid creation of a debt. Right? This is a valid debt, and it's a valid debt. It's a valid mashkon, of course. That's posh. Once a valid debt, posh, it's a valid mashkon. If I owe you the money, I can give you a mashkon. Okay. I didn't put on the course sheet. There's a, and Yosef Shavuos interprets the Rimigash to say that just to be a valid debt, I can't always give you a mashkon, only under very limited circumstances. But that's not mainstream. Mainstream is that there's a valid debt, and I hand over a mashkon, and that's a valid mashkon. Okay, so what's the problem here? The problem is there's a difference between what I owe you and what someone else owes you. Why is there a difference between what I owe you and what someone else owes you? After all, I hope I'm saying this right, haven't you received the same thing? What's the difference between her receiving the indebtedness to collect $1,000 from me, or the indebtedness that she can collect $1,000 from Chaim Yankel? What's the difference between getting a check, a halachically valid check there's no backing out of, that's validly hers? What's the difference if the check is from my bank account, or the check is from Chaim Yankel's bank account? Either way, she doesn't have any money yet. She just has a check, and in our case, she is more better than a check. She actually has a mashko. So what's the difference in getting my iPhone, but she can collect $100, and Chaim Yankel's iPhone? Either way, she doesn't have the $100, but she has a way of collecting the $100.
Whether or not the husband is nechsar or lo nechsar.
Ah, exactly. So what do they say? The difference is not so much mitzad her. I think the difference is mitzad me. If I have a check made out to me from Chaim Yankel, and I give it to her, or mashkin dachir, I have Chaim Yankel's iPhone to collect $100, and I give it to her, what's my connection to that debt after I gave it to her?
None.
Chaim Yankel owes her money. I have nothing to do with it anymore. If I give her my own check for $100, or the case in Argamar is not just a check, I give her my own mashkon, I give her my iPhone that I'll owe her $100, what's my connection to that after I give it to her? It's still mine. The money's still mine. I haven't given it to her yet. And the mashkon's still mine. She has to give it back to me. She doesn't have to give back until I pay her. But money ain't kind. The money ain't kind. I haven't given her the money. I'm still holding it. And the mashkon ain't kind. I've given her the mashkon, but she's not keeping the mashkon. She's only temporarily holding onto it, and she has to return the mashkon. Therefore, I haven't fully given her anything yet. That's what they say. But there's a difference between shelo and shelachirim. What's the difference? Could you remember all the proofs that I brought for the Itter were from Achirim? The Gemara in Daf Zayin Tamim Ches is talking about I transfer the check of Achirim. or the Milva Pevachirim. The Gemara Dachesim Beis is talking about Milva Dachle Mashkin Dachirim. That's explicit. Hasam Mashkin Dachirim. So they just read the Gemara very Medoyet. Ah, the Achirim is a different story. It's only your own Mashkin that's not valid. The Achirim is a different story. Why? Because if it's my mashkon, then me being the Mekadesh, what do they say? Shibuda Bershus Lova, right? It's Bershus Lova. It's I'm still holding on to the money. I'm still holding on to the money. I'm still connected to the money.
Same thing for Acherim. It's still Bershus Lova. Just
but it's not me.
It's you. Right.
Okay, so give me a second. Then I am still. Or say better, right? I is going to be confusing because if it is the chasan's mashkon, then he is still holding the money and owning the mashkon. I understand she has certain rights on the mashkon, but it ultimately goes back to him. Right? So, two different ways of reading money, income, mashkon, income, let's just have a second. For the rush, what it's saying is that I have not created a valid indebtedness. I have not created a valid indebtedness. I don't owe you the money, and you can't keep the mashkon. Basically, you have to return the mashkon, because it's totally invalid. For the Rabban, I have created a valid indebtedness, meaning theoretically. Once there's no kiddushin, you have to be baptized in Mekach Tolos. But theoretically, I could create a valid indebtedness, right, by giving you over a mashkon. The reason it doesn't work in kiddushin is because even though I've given you, you've received something of value. Clearly, a chova mashkon is something of value. Even though you've received something of value. But I haven't fully given it over because I am still holding on to the money and I'm still owning the mashkon and I am still too connected to it. Yes?
What's the difference between the shibuda of the chasam mekadesh that he had value? This mashkon, but he had value. He could have given this starchot to someone else. But he now is losing the property that he had. So he is losing something.
But what is he losing? Correct. He's losing this abstract indebtedness. Right?
It was worth it.
But what is he losing? The money he hasn't given yet. And the mashkon, he didn't really give. He's taking it back. So therefore, you fall between the cracks. Obviously, he has to give one or the other, right? But it was not clearly economically he lost value.
Right.
And he kind of say he lost value. But there's some chisaron here in the Nesinas Kedushin. Why does that make a difference? So let's just ask a very posh question. So what? Right? Why does it make a difference? After all, she's received something of value.
Two things. Number one, with the Chakir and the Mishnah Melech, the Rabbaz, whether you just need a Kabbalah or a Nesina, it seems that the Ramban and the Rashba see that you actually need.
Okay, excellent. Says Yonatan. He says, remember that Mishnah Melech, the beginning of Perakei, who discussed, and remember, we had the Tosos and the Zion days, and even earlier we discussed it. Do we need a Nesina and a Kabbalah? Or is it enough that the man causes the woman to have a Kabbalah? Right, remember the Mishnah discussion, what if he gives her something that's not worth the prut to him, but is worth the prut to her?
Yeah.
Or what if he gives her something that was not worth the prut when he gave it, and is worth the prut to when he receives it?
Yeah.
Or what if he causes her to acquire a stolen object where she requires a valid ownership, but he never had a valid ownership to give over, or all these other funny cases. What if he causes someone else to give to her in a way that doesn't count as he himself giving? May or may not be relevant, as all of which points out. So Yonatan's saying, maybe that's the yesod here. You need a Nesina and a Kabbalah. Nesina has to be, you need a Nesina and a Kabbalah. So one pshat might be, right, back to the Hakira of the Mishlo Melech, says, the Kabbalah is the same for Mashkon Shelo and Mashkon Da'achirim. She received the same, right? But, what's the problem? Think of the Nesina. When I hand you over Chaim Yankel's Mashkon, I am giving away all my rights in it. when I hand you over my own mashkon, what am I really giving you? What am I really giving you? I'm basically planning to give you, because the mashkon I'm going to get back, so that's not really giving, and the money I haven't given yet, so Chanyakel, I'm not getting the mashkon back. It was a real nesina, right? I give you Chanyakel's mashkon, he might get the mashkon back if he pays, but I can never get this mashkon back. So I gave you a real nesina. But in the case of mashkon shelo, I didn't do a real nesina because I only did a temporary nesina of the mashkon. The mashkon is a temporary nesina. I'll have to give the money as a permanent nesina. Okay, the mashkon is a temporary nesina because I'm going to get it back. And the money is a permanent nesina, but I haven't done it yet. So I haven't done a proper nesina because the mashkon I only gave temporarily, and the money I'm only giving next week. So I haven't yet done a proper nesina. So that's what Yonatan says. Maybe this ties in Mishal Melech Sakira. I absolutely agree that the Kabbalah is the same, but in Mashkom Da'acherim, there is a full nesina. In Mashkom Da'acherim, there is a full nesina, but in Mashkom Shelo, there is no proper nesina. Why? Because money ain't come money. Mashkon, money is not yet given. And the mashkon is only given temporarily. No, you could say temporarily, you could say not fully given. It's only given temporarily. So therefore, it's a begam in the nesina.
If the lovet pays the loan back, so the mashkon goes back. Why is that considered a full nesina?
But the mashkon goes back to what?
Why is that considered?
The mashkon goes back to who? To the husband or to Chaim Yankel?
Goes back to
Chaim Yankel. But the husband has given away everything he has. Right?
But she didn't get anything. She didn't get the mashkon.
Hold on a second. You're talking about the Gabbalah of the Nesina. Mitzad the Nesina, the husband gave away everything he had. Right? Mitzad the Kabbalah, uh-huh. Obviously we assume this counts as a Kabbalah because she got a mashkon which she could get money out of. Right? So that's basically what I'm saying here. The Chassan gave everything he had. I don't mean all his property. I mean everything he had relevant to this inyan. Well, here, right, the chassan has not yet fully paid his part. Right? Yeah, he's given a mashkon, which is like a partial temporary thing, and he might give the money later, but he's still holding on. In the case of Chaim Yankel might be holding on, but the Chassan's not. So the Chassan did a proper nesina.
Nothing he says like the Chakir and the Pnei Yeshua, which is, in the Ramban says, Lamatil Yad HaKlum, versus another case there is, that what, because of the Chiddush of the Drush of Rabbi Yitzchak, then she's getting a Schos Beguf Hadar, but it's not really because of you, it's because of the Torah. Once you're one more step removed, once I get this mashkon from someone else, I have a Schos in the Dover. Again, not because of them, but now I have a Schos in the Guf Hadar, and they're giving that to her, and now I'm giving her a Schos Beguf Hadar.
That's very clever. The Ramban says that.
I mean, I think he's saying that. And I found that in Yeshua also.
Interesting.
He said
okay.
Okay,
let's talk about that later because I'm skeptical. But I hear your timing. Now the truth is the Ramban and the Ran use another phrase. So this is a little controversial. They use the phrase agud gabe. It's still tied to the husband. Again, if I give you Chaim Yankel's mashkon, it's not tied to me at all. I'm out of the picture. So you and Chaim Yankel work it out, but I'm out of the picture. If I give you my mashkon, I'm still connected to it, right? So agud gabe. Agud gabe is a agud gabe is a phrase that really is borrowed from Gittin. Is borrowed from Gittin. In Gittin, is a bit of krisus. When I give my wife a get, we have to be totally separate. Which means that, you know, ever hear strings attached, right? A divorce needs to be no strings attached. Literally, the Gemara says if I have a string attached to the get, and I'm holding that string, it's not a valid divorce because I'm still tied to that get. I'm still connected to that get. Or there are other various cases where, you know, perhaps the husband has too much of a connection to this get, and there's strings attached. So there you need a kind of nesina that totally separates the husband and the wife, and shouldn't be agud gabe, shouldn't be still connected to him. So they use this phrase agud gabe. Here it's a little unclear, like what they mean. Do they mean to learn from gittin to kiddushin, and then they would have to learn from kiddushin to evid also, because the case of zavet hawamsa, that this din of agud gabe, which is in a this din of agud gabe. Which is a bit of a chiddush, because agud gabe comes from krisos, which is separated, and kiddushin is not supposed to separate. It's supposed to join. Or, says they mean, really, the husband can't be connected, because we learn that from gittin, from the word krisos. The husband can't be connected to the money anymore. And here, when he gives the maskin, it's clearly still connected to this debt. Or, are they just using that phrase, nirolani is daiti a little more, that they're just using that phrase. What they mean is that you need a full nesina. Why do you need a full nesina? Just because nasati kesva sedekach vimeni, right? It used, doesn't work to use nesina in kedushin, but kicha kichmistei afron, nasati kesva sedekach vimeni. You need a proper nesina. So, yesh, you know, yesh lodun, whether it's just a svara of nesina, after all, nasati kesva sedekach, you need a nesina, and here there's not a proper nesina. Or do they, and therefore it's from the word nesina, or do they literally mean no? It's from the word krisos, because they use a phrase, agud gabe, that's used in Shas by Gittin, and from krisos, of course in krisos we learn that divorce has to separate people forever. Yeah. Kiddushin has to join people forever. But nonetheless, we can learn from part of the idea of krisos that at least the giving has to be a complete separation between the item given and the giver. The giver has to completely separate himself from the item. So you could say just nesina, it comes out very similar. Or you could say maybe it's nilmad mi krisos, and that it's learned from krisos.
Through
viyatzva haisev, yeah, through viyatzva it's learned from krisos, and then through hekesh between la between eved and isha, you have to learn it to buying an eved also. That's already a big chiddush. Anyway, okay, there are two ways to read where the Ramban is going, because the Ramban and the Ran, although not the Rashba, use the phrase agud gabe. Some people say they're mamish, the mucker is gittin. Gittin needs krisos, separation, separation between the people, but also separation between the husband and the get. We don't learn that first part, but the second part we learn, separation between the husband and the kesef, we also learn to kiddushin, and also to eved v'shifcha, through a bunch of, through a hekesh and a Gzeirah Shavah, and maybe through Krisos we learn that when you have a ritual Nisina, you need to give in a way that you're not connected anymore. Or maybe it's just a Svara, that's what the word Nisina means. The word Nisina means you have to give something away so that it's not yours anymore. The Nafgamina, it's coming out the same thing. The point is that when I give you Chan Yankel's Mashkon, I am no longer connected to it. When I give you my Mashkon, I'm still connected to it. The Nafgamina between these, which I don't have proof for most Rishonim about, would be, what about, maybe an Afkamina would be, what about selling land, real estate? If it's from the Sina, Nasati, Kasva, Sedekach, Mimeni, then maybe we should apply to real estate. If it's from Krisos, from a Get, maybe it would be going too far to apply that to real estate. Okay, but for most Rishonim, I can't prove that anyway, so I'll leave it. I'll leave this just two words in the Torah. What word in the Torah do we get this idea? That it's not enough that she receives an item of value. And if you'd ask, why is it called an item of value to receive a mashkon? It is. That's how we paskin later on in the sugya. We'll get to it. Right? But that's enough she receives an item of value. I have to completely give away that thing and not be have my tentacles on it anymore. Either because of the word nesina, just that's what nesina means, or maybe because the word krisos, which is learned indirectly and partially. But for one of those reasons, we need me to be disconnected from it. There's a difference between me and achirim. So basically the difference is, for the rush, the difference is really my mashkon versus the mashkon of achirim. The difference is a pre-existing debt in mashkon, which is validly created, versus trying to create one from scratch without a valid mechanism, which is just a joke. For the Ramban and the Rashba, it's the difference between someone else's property, which I am totally severing myself from, versus my own property, where I'm still half connected and you're half connected, and I haven't really given anything away yet. I've just half given it away. Okay, that's the two ways of reading the Gemara. Which way of these does Rashi say? I admit you could read Rashi either way. The Karm Nisadol, who was very influential, read Rashi the Rush's way, but I worked very hard and I couldn't necessarily prove it either way, especially since we're not sure what the exact Gerson Rashi should be. Tosfos is a little tricky. What does Tosfos hold? Because Tosfos starts off saying, Perish ve'ina mikudeshes, lefi shehaisha niknes bekesef, bekesef einu be'en, heyach yikne, she'ena mashkon tachas hakesef. He says, well, a woman is only nicknamed the Kesef. You haven't given her the Kesef. And she's not going to keep the Mashkon forever. So therefore, it's not valid. Who does that sound like? You haven't given her the Kesef yet. And the Mashkon, she's not going to keep. So that's not a valid Kiddushe Kesef. Who does that sound like?
For now, the Ramban.
For now, the Ramban and the Rashba. After all, like, you just haven't given her something which fits a Isha nicknamed the Kesef. Vadai, Amrlis.
No, not exactly, because the last part implies that the chov is enough. It's just the kesef. It's not. And the Ramban and the Rashba ultimately say that giving over the chov is enough. No.
Someone else says not his own.
Right, but they don't. He doesn't. The Tosfos doesn't make a chov.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. But maybe he's not getting into it. Avavadi, Amrlis. Kachshli Mashkin Zav Mashkin Shalchab Shita B'Kadeshes. But if he had just given her the Mashkon to be an independent kinyan for her, then that would be valid. We'll have to see what that means. Then he says, "Ukumokin," and likewise, "im adam omer lechaveru." Now, in the Rush or the Tosfos Rush, there were two deos. First, yesh omrim, that it's a problem. This is not a valid esinas kedushin. It's not a valid kedusha kesef. Right? He didn't do a valid tekes kedushin. But really, the truth is that it's not a valid indebtedness at all. Right? In Tosfos, it's a little unclear. Tosfos Rush, there are two opinions. First, the Ramban, and then the Rush. In Tosfos, it sounds like there's two opinions. At first, he sounds like he's talking about the Ramban. And then, he sounds like, not sounds like, he explicitly is talking about the Rush. Likewise, if I just say, I'm going to owe you money, and here's a mashkon on it, I've not created a valid debt, I've not created a valid mashkon, the whole thing is just not valid in the first place. Mefor is like the Rush. So the Tosfos ends up mefurish like the Rush. The question is why he starts out sounding like the Ramban and the Rashba, if he ends up very mefurish like the Rush. He says, it's just not a valid way of creating a debt. Nothing to do with the context of Kedushin. It's not a valid way of creating a debt. It's not just not a valid Nesias Kedushin. It's not a valid indebtedness. You don't owe her the money, and she has to return the Mashkon immediately. So this is a little, I admit, unclear to me. You could say that maybe Tosfos, I mean, it's a little hard to say that Tosfos meant to have two different opinions here, like in Tosfos Rush, because he doesn't say V'yesh Omrim, he just says this and Kamokain that. Kamokain sounds like so within one opinion. So if you want to, you could say that really he's just saying the Rush. And what he meant at first, V'enim Kudeshus, L'visha Isha Niknes B'Kesef, V'Kesef Einu Be'en, Heyach Yikna, how can you be Kona? You haven't given her the money. What he really means is that you haven't given her the money and you don't even owe her the money. And then he says, "She'ena mashkon tachas hakesef, kein shel yishaver yad ha'isha." The mashkon doesn't count, she's not going to keep it. He doesn't mean she's not going to keep it forever. She can't even keep it for 1 second because she has no right to keep it because it's not a valid mashkon. So a little bit bedochak, you can go back and read Tosfos like the Rush. And what he meant to say at first was that it's not a valid kesef because you don't owe her any money, even though sounds more like it's just because you haven't given her the money yet. And it's not a valid mashko, it's not a valid kiddush of the mashko because she doesn't have any rights in the mashko. Although it sounds more like she has rights in the mashko, just she has to return it eventually. So, bidochak, if you want to read Tosfos like the Rush, you can. However, the same Karben Asano read Tosfos like the Ramban of the Rashba. Give me a second, the Pnei Yeshua does the same thing with all kinds of nafkaminas. The way the Achronim read Tosfos is that Tosfos holds that there are two reasons it doesn't work. Maybe that's pshat. Tosfos holds both pshatim are right. After all, something could fail for two reasons. Number one, Tosfos says, even if it was a valid chov and a valid mashkon, it wouldn't be a good kiddushin because you haven't handed her over anything that she can keep. Number two, kamokain, actually taka, it's not even a valid chov in the first place. So that's the way the Karmanis Sandal is very pithy. He just says, Tosfos holds like the Rashba and the Ramban. Or what he calls the Yesh Omer. But it's Mefurish and Tosli says like the Rush that it's not a valid way of creating a debt. And that's obviously he meant Tosli holds like both sides. And the Bnei Yeshua is very explicit. He says Tosli holds like both sides. He says number one, it's not a valid way of creating a debt. And this, and even in some cases where you might get it to work, it still won't work for Kiddushin. In some cases. So maybe Tosfos, sorry, I shouldn't use 1 and 2 here. I should use A and D. Because I reuse 1 and 2. So 3, Tosfos, maybe Tosfos, this is how the Bnei Yeshua and the Karmel Nesan will read him. He says, it doesn't work for both reasons. Okay, so maybe Tosfos thinks both reasons are valid. That's why he starts out talking like the Rashba and the Ramban, and ends up talking like the Rush. And unlike the Rush, who starts out saying Yesh Omer like Rashba and Ramban, but they're wrong. Really, I'm right. And the Tosfos Rush says Yesh Omer, but really this is right. Tosfos doesn't say Belush and Yesh Omer. So therefore, again, if you want, you could say Tosfos really meant to reject his first statement, and just the Rush. Or Tosfos really didn't mean the first statement what we thought he meant. He didn't mean like it's not valid for your kiddushin. He just meant you don't owe the money. But this, I'm partial to the Pnei Yeshua and the Korban Nesan. I'll say Tosfos meant that both sides are right. It's wrong for it should not be kiddushin for two reasons. Number one, even if there would be something here, it's not a good enough nesina to be called kesef kiddushin or kesef eved v'shevcha later on. And number two, taka, it's actually not a valid debt in the first place, and it's just a big joke because it's not a valid means of creating indebtedness. Okay. Now, let us just review for a second. Now that we have two ways of reading the beginning of this Gemara.
Just technically, historically, how did that work? If Tosfot had both of these opinions, that means that neither that both the idea of the Ramban and the Rosh...
Okay, so first of all, I can't promise you that our Tosfos had both these opinions floating around, because I don't know... I don't remember who wrote our Tosfos. Our Tosfos later, Tosfos early. You know, in Chaim Orbach's Sefer Bali Tosfos, he goes to each Masechet and tries to figure out, tries to deduce who wrote the Tosfos in that Masechet. Okay, since then people have also, added further research to that. So if our Tosfos is a late Tosfos, clearly he knew these two opinions were clearly. You know what? I'm not promising you. It's a little tricky because the Rush. Do you remember what the Tosfos Toch had?
I thought
it was like
the
Tosfos
Rush.
Yeah. Okay. If the Tosfos, so I don't know. Maybe our Tosfos is an early Tosfos and hadn't yet fleshed out these two possibilities. Mm-hmm. Maybe our Tosfos knew these two possibilities. So, Lanias Dati, I think Tosfos knew these two possibilities. Either he was saying both of the possibilities, or he was saying, I know some people hold both possibilities, and, you know, I hear, like, this formulation, but I'm going to sort of use it to mean my possibility. But I can't promise you. It's a difficult Tosfos. No, Tosfos definitely didn't know the Ramban, but this shot may have predated the Ramban. No, Tosfos didn't know the Ramban. The Rush knew the Ramban, because the Rush moved to Spain. Because the reason Jews moved every place, because they tried to kill all the Jews in Germany. But the Rush? That I don't know. Anyway, okay, let's leave that a little bit, Ian for now, because I don't know enough. Yes?
In terms of the Lashon HaTosfos, why can't you just say, mm-hmm. meaning, okay, it's great, you created a chov, but since you don't have kesef, that's not sufficient, uh-huh. because you're doing something physical. But what about the mashkon? Because it's like an almanas hafzer sort of a thing. She's not going to end up holding it.
Sounds like the Ramban and Rashba to me. And you're using a different word, but you're saying the same direction.
No, because the Ramban is saying a little bit, he's saying a little bit less than that. He's saying that theoretically the chuv is enough. The issue is here is that when you're giving over the chuv, it's not you're not completely giving it over. It's like a begam in the nesina. Tosfos, the thing, is not saying that.
Okay, I understand. That's a fair point, and I thought about that a lot. I might want to push up that discussion until Seder time, but I also thought at first, if you look in the Yesh Omer and the Rush and in Tosfos, it sounds like fundamentally a debt is just not a valid kesef kiddushin. Like, it's just not a thing.
Yeah, but you said Tosfos seems to say yes.
What?
The Tosfos seems to
right,
say
the,
yes.
No, the problem
is that it's a proper code. If he doesn't, at the moment, he doesn't say that it's not a proper code.
I mean, you might have to explain to me later, but I'm not sure I see the difference.
So Tosfos be saying even more simply that he's saying Kachri the Manev that he say that it's like Kesef. In other words, it's not a code. His formulation is Kesef, and giving her a Mashkon is not Kesef.
Aha, uh-huh. That's an interesting one. What Irv is suggesting is that the problem is that if he had said straight out, be mekudeshes to me with this whole sheyishal of mashkon,
right,
then it would have worked.
Yes.
The problem is that he said b'maneh,
yes,
and didn't give her a maneh, right, and also gave her a mashkon, but a mashkon is not as good as a maneh. And maybe the problem is just right, that like he said it wrong.
Right.
Yes. In which case, the end of Tosfos is clearly saying the Rush. He's saying it's just not a means of creating indebtedness, bechlal. But at least in the beginning of Tosfos, might be saying something slightly different, that he just said it wrong, which is easier to get it to work, and that's why he used the lashon of Ein Hamashkon Tachas HaKesef. He didn't say the mashkon is not valid. He just says, okay, this depends on what he means by tachas
tachas kesef. He says, with this mashkon, then she's mikudeshet. But he said, manazu, mashkon doesn't work.
But if he had said, it's kashli b'mashkon, and this mashkon should be yours, but what did he mean? He meant yours as a mashkon. I hear what you're saying. Let me think for a second. And this then is very different than the Ravan and the Rashi. He's not saying that fundamentally a mashkon is not a valid Sinas Kedushin because his tentacles are still on it. He's saying... What?
The Panishua says that in
Tosfos. Okay, and that's what you... Was this close to what you were trying to say? Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what? I am molded to that. I'm molded to that. We can look again at the Pnei Yeshua, but maybe what Tosfos is saying, let's put this. We should have given him a one. What's the difference?
Maybe four.
Yeah, fair enough. Maybe what Tosfos is saying, in addition to the Rush, Tosfos is clearly saying the Rush in the end. Right? He's clearly saying this is not a valid means of creating indebtedness. Why? Because even in Stam business transactions, if I say I'll owe you money and give you a mashkon, money ain't kan mashkon, ain't kan, I don't owe you the money and I don't have to let you keep the mashkon. You have to give the mashkon back and you get nothing. It's just not a valid halachic halos. But maybe that really is what the Lashon of Tosfos. Maybe the problem is that in addition to the Rush, the problem is that he said b'mane and gave a mashkon. Now here it's a bit of a chiddush, I might have thought, but if he said b'mane and gave a mashkon, not like the iter. The iter says he said a mashkon, now gave a mashkon later. Then I understand, that's not valid, I said a mashkon later and I can't change it to a mashkon. Here, he said a mashkon and gave a mashkon now. That is a chiddush, I would have said. You admit, if not for those, you would have said, I said I'm a Kadesh, leave a money, I give you a mashkon. What I mean is, obviously, I'm a Kadesh, if I own you a money and through this mashkon. I don't mean with the money. Just like if I give you a dinar. But maybe Tosfos would say, no, it's a matter of what you're focusing on. Remember the sugya in Vav and Beis? Milveh versus Mechilas Milveh, it all depends, like, what I'm focusing on. So just like, what was the problem with Milveh, Mechilas Milveh? If she thinks about the money which she owed, that's not valid kedushin. If she thinks about that, no, the mechilat is valid kedushin. Maybe here also. If you're thinking about the money, sure, and that's why it's different from mashkon dachirim. In mashkon dachirim, you're clearly not mekadosh with the money. What money? I just have this mashkon of chayim yankel. Who's talking about a money? In the daf mem zayin, who's talking about a money? I'm talking about a check. We all know I'm not mekadosh with the money. But over here, maybe he said money and gave a mashkon, even at the same time, her das is on a money mamish, and he didn't give her a money, and the mashkon is not as good as a money. Meaning a mashkon is worth something. Mashkon dachirim is worth something if I say b'mashkon. But if it said b'mashkon, then yes. Okay. So, good. So hold that thought for a minute. Okay. Here it's still a little tricky because even if you said iskashli b'mashkon mashkon yeshalach, okay. You have to figure out why it's a valid mashkon in the first place. But maybe that's shot in Tosos. F, sure, let me just point out one thing. Something that's confused me a lot. I'm sure there are people here who are older and wiser than me and maybe figure this out, or younger and wiser than me. But the Rambam is very unclear why it doesn't work. What does the Rambam think mana inkan, mashkon inkan means? He doesn't clearly say like the Rush, oh, just it's not a valid way of creating a debt. He doesn't clearly say the Rambam. What does the Rambam say? He says, "Ha'omer li she's kashli v'dinar v'areza mashkon biyodcha atcha etin hadinar ain mukadesh shlomo fishlo gear din liyadi." He didn't give her the dinar. The law of mashkon nelson liyot shalom. He didn't give her the mashkon to keep.
Liyot
shalom. Liyot shalom. He didn't give her the mashkon to keep. So, like, why doesn't this work?
According to the she has no supposed to
be what?
I mean, there was still the sina, just it wasn't given to her.
I don't know. And then he says, as opposed to Mashkun Dachirim, where he has a mitzvah kinyan, he gives me a kaddisha with it. So it's a little tricky. He gives me a kaddisha with Mashkun Dachirim, because it's a little bit of a kinyan. I don't know, with his own Mashkun, he's a full kinyan. Like, why can't he be kaddisha? Like, what is the Rambam trying to say is not so clear. He says that, well, he didn't give her the Mashkun to keep. And Mashkun Dachirim, he also didn't give her the Mashkun to keep. And it works. So, like, what's the problem here? So, I'm not sure of Shad. Anyone here sure of Shad?
I thought we said in Mashkan de Acherim that it was a full Nesina. He gave it to her to keep, unless somebody.
Okay, but here is Lashon is Liyoso Shelah. He didn't give it to her to be hers. Now, what does it mean he didn't give it to be hers? See, in the Ramah and the Ram, we talk about how much he separated from it. But the Rambam doesn't focus on that. He says how much she got. He didn't give it to her to be hers. Unless what he means is to separate himself from it.
Planning to bring them the money.
Right.
To be next to week. To have a schia in the gufadavar. I'm going to go back to what I said before. So he didn't give it to her to have a schia in the gufadavar. She got a schia in the gufadavar mixas kinyin because, again, the chiddush of Rabbi Yitzchak. But so when he already has that schia from someone else, he does have the right to give that to her. And that's what Mashkul Dechair means.
Okay. That's what I hear, Taina. It's intriguing.
Why is Rabbi not?
Because you're making it sound like when I give you a mashkon, not the achirim, I'm not giving you the kinyan of the mashkon. I'm just sort of doing the setup and like zero shakasav.
It's like a deal. You want a particular loan from me, but you know you need a security. But you don't want this to belong to me at all. You really want to get this mashkon back. That's the whole point. Okay, it's nice to have a chiddush of Yitzchak.
Okay, I hear it. You're saying is Rabbi Yitzchak is not the direct result of what they're doing. It's this zerusagos of the tzchal conceptually afterwards. I'm just
and
that's not intuitive.
There is a chakir in some of the achronim that what if you say when you give it to her the mashkon, I know you're getting this chiyah in it, and I want you to have this chiyah that you're getting them in. So, like Pnei Yeshua says, that would work.
I know that's the question of the Raiv, etc., right?
Right,
Vichuli. Okay, so let's hold that thought for now. I hear Taina, even though I'm not putting it on the board. I'm not sure what the Rambam is saying. I wish I had shot in the Rambam. Does the Rambam mean like the Rush, that he hadn't validly created the debt? He doesn't sort of say that anywhere. Does he mean like the Ramban, that he hasn't separated himself and done a full Nesina? Maybe that's what he means by law. Mashkon nasan liyo shalah. He didn't give her the mashkon to be hers because he's still a little connected to it. That's what Yehuda is saying. Or maybe he's saying like this, Shana Tosos, that what did he say? His kashli b'dinar being kadeshli with a dinar. Vareza mashkon b'yodcha acha etin a dinar. And here's a mashkon until I give it to you. He didn't say b'mikudeshes with the right to collect a dinar, with the shibud of a dinar, with the kinyan mashkin of a dinar. He said b'mikudeshes to me with a dinar mash. And he didn't give her a dinar. And even though he gave her a mashkin worth a dinar, she's not keeping that forever, so it's not like getting a dinar. So I thought maybe you could say for the Rambam that similar to the beginning part of this Tosos, but maybe that's his whole vart, that the problem is not that fundamentally it doesn't work. Maybe fundamentally it could work if you say, maybe that would work. But over here, her das was on a dinar, and she didn't get what her das was on, and therefore it is a problem. Maybe you could say that shot in the Rambam.
The Rambam clearly makes a difference, because for the second part, he's Makadesh with the Mashko. The first part is Makadesh with the Mashko.
Right, exactly. Precisely. Right, let me just repeat what Morty said. In the Rambam's contrast to Mashkin Dachirim, he says, with the mashko. So maybe the difference is not between him and Achir. The difference is Mekadesh with the dinar and give a mashko, or Mekadesh with a mashko and give a mashko. If you Mekadesh with a mashko, give a mashko, Shalom on Yisrael. If you Mekadesh with a dinar and give a mashko, then Mona Inkan, you didn't give the dinar. And mashko Inkan, the mashko is not a dinar. And maybe that's what. So maybe that's shot in the Rambam. Morty's agreeing. I don't know if Joel's agreeing.
That's what I understood. I'm just curious how far you would take it. Somebody said, "Hurry up, the condition of the mana," and he gives a shot of kesef on mana. Would you say her das was on a silver mana and not a bronze?
No. There, I would say that's. You have to just draw the line someplace. There, I'd assume it's good enough. Otherwise,
great kesef is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'd say so. Then why? When I give her a mana, that's really the butter of the deadness as well. You know, like there's a chance of the pool. Got a market value of mana, and say it's the same thing. It's the same one. I'm just trying to figure out where that line gets drawn.
Okay, that is a great question, right? A bond, right? I mean, corporate bonds are also a great example of transferable debt nowadays.
Yeah.
Right? Easily, I mean, transferable debt. There's an exchange. There's a market for them. You know, where do you draw the line between what's a money and what's not a money? My intuition is that if I say Mekadesh Li B'mana and I give her a gold bracelet, then that's good enough. If I say Mekadesh Li with the money and I give her a bond on General Electric corporate bond, or they have those here also, Teva Pharmaceuticals, right, corporate bond, then that is not good enough, because that's shtarus. Shtarus are not the same as Shvei Kesef in Halacha. But I admit that I'm going to, after all, who says this is halacha? Maybe this is just psychology, and maybe it depends how people think of things, and I don't know. It's a great question. I'm going to leave that with Sarhiyam. Okay, now, let me just point out the obvious nafkaminas. I don't mean fancy nafkaminas, just like the obvious nafkaminas they're directly talking about, right? The most direct nafkamina they're talking about is, what about, what Tosos talks about and what the Rush talks about, right? Most obvious nafkamina is what they're talking about, right? Can I create a, an indebtedness via handing you a mashkon and saying, right, I'll owe you money, right? Okay, now let's see. Mesiras mashkon, right? That is what Tosfos is talking about, and that's what the Rush is talking about, right? Can I, if here we take the, here we take the, excuse my anachronism. That seems to be that's Gufa the Machlokas, which the Rush is which the Rush is talking about, right? The Rush says that it doesn't work, right? Says the Rush, and says Tosos, who also holds like the Rush, that it doesn't work. I don't owe you money. Therefore, Tosfos says in Shiduchim, when people would say to each other, well, if I back out of the Shidduch, apparently, I don't know if anyone here is more of a social story than I am. Apparently, once upon a time, the worst thing you could do to anyone was back out of a Shidduch. Right? it was like the, I'm not sure why it was like the worst thing you could do to anyone back out of a shidduch. Nowadays, not considered so bad.
The famous minute gone, Shetach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The once upon a time, this like people were really afraid. I think somehow someone backed out of a shidduch. It became like everyone assumed they discovered something terrible about your yichus or about something like this, and therefore it blacklisted you forever. And that's why, of course, there's this famous Chakir Magaonim, right? Not to back out of Shiduchim, meaning once you sign Tanoim, not to break an engagement, which created a Masorah from the Gra, that since there's a Chirim against breaking engagements, therefore, if someone wants to break an engagement after the Tanoim are signed, it's better to get married and divorced, because there's no Chirim against that, which is very wild. Which then created the modern day minhag in the modern and American yeshivish communities, which is to not do a shidduch until 10 minutes before the chuppah, in order not to have to get into that chayrem. And that's why in America, in yeshivish and modern circles, they do the tanaim at the wedding. Okay.
In Israel, they
mamish
it way before.
Hasidim always do tanoim when they get engaged and just don't break engagements. In Yeshivish community in Israel, I've seen different things.
Hasidim do the real tanoim at the
Now, maybe different. I don't know what everyone does. Okay, Viker. I don't know what everyone does. I know that I've been at different things. Anyway, you see this, by the way, in Tosfos. People were so afraid of breaking Shiduchim. Obviously, there's no Chirim then, or, you know, Tosa doesn't mention any such chirim kadmonim. But what did they do? They would create a schaimus. They would make a knas. If I break out of the shidduch, I have to pay you $1 million. And if you break the shidduch, you have to pay me $1 million.
Who cares what they
think? And isn't that nasmachta? So they would, if just a schaimus, no, they would actually hand over a mashkon. Right, the family would take their like most prized heirlooms and possessions and gold and silver and jewelry, whatever, and hand it over to some trustworthy third party, and say, if I break the engagement, you give this to the mechutanim. And if they break the engagement, then you give me their valuables. And that way, no one break the engagement. So Tosa discusses, is that valid or not? And Tosa says, maybe taka, that's not valid. Right? Because mana inkan, mashkon inkan. And then Tosa ends up with two opinions. Either that's not valid, and if you want to ensure your shidduch, you should, instead of calling them mashkon, you should say, I am being makne you, the guf hadavar, which then gets into asmachta problems, perhaps. I mean, either way, you might, and Tosfos assumes you can solve those. Or Tosfos says, maybe in this case, it's not a problem, mana inkan mashkon inkan, because you're causing a lot of bokshes.
Which is like hefset, I guess?
So here it's a little unclear what Tosfos means. Let me just point out, Tosfos basically has two challenges here. One is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, right? If a worker backs out and causes me a loss, then I can keep his work tools, right? I can keep his work tools to pay for my loss, right? Chavila, or whatever his property. I have a lien on his property. So Tosfos asks, how is that a valid mashkon? After all, mana inkan, mashkon inkan. And Tosfos says two deus. Either, no, it wasn't given to me as a mashkon. There's an unstated assumption that it's given to me as a matana. Which, again, get into a lot of asmachta problems here. We're not going to solve them now. Then it's given to me, and some of the Rishonim Ashkenaz actually deal with how to solve the asmachta problem in the Shutmar Rachor Zeruah and the Shutmar Rami Rutenberg, I think. Either it's a matana gemura, not a mashkon. You can always give a matana gemura. Or Tosa says it's because there is damages. So basically, Tosa says the same sort of two options, both for the workers who back out in the gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Ayin Hamad Beis, and for their contemporary practice of shidduchim. What about the chazaras poel in the gemara and the shidduchim, which are not parallel? I mean, Chazar's poll is a Gemara, you have to explain it. Shidduchim is not something you have to explain, it's just something you have to, like, give some sort of perspective on. You could just say, there is no way to do it. But they were assuming that there's some way. Either Matana Gemura, either it was Matana, Guf HaDavar, it wasn't a mashkon, it was matana. You can always give matana. Or they don't use call it matana, what they call is like kinyan guf HaDavar, right? Mak de loch kach bekach be guf HaChifetz. Or, enach avi lotoris mashkon al kenuyolo, right? Either it was a... It was a hiknu guf HaDavar, or there was hezek. What does he mean? These are either it works because you need a haknas guf HaDavar, and let's assume there was haknas guf HaDavar, or it works because of hezek. What does it mean by it works because of hezek? The way Rav Gustman and others understand is that this is Tosfos, who holds other places in Shas, that there are some heziks you can't collect. Can I collect a hezek if you embarrass my, you humiliate me by breaking a shidduch? I made a shidduch my daughter, your son, and you broke the shidduch. You humiliated my whole family. Can I sue you in Bezdin for that hezek? No. What's that called? It's really like boshes devarim, right? Just mere verbal insult. That's not actual court. Can I sue the workers in court if they didn't show up and cause me to loss of money because they didn't fix my pipe in time?
Yeah.
No.
It's grumma.
According to most people, most you showed him not, because it's grumma. But maybe Tosfos holds that, after all, there is a shita, and Tosfos seems to hold this in a few places in Shas, that even though I can't sue you for grumma, tfisa works. If I'm already holding your money, I can keep it for grumma. So maybe Tosfos holds here that the workers damaged me with grumma. This is not Batoris mashkon. This is Batoris tfisa. If I have your property, I can use it to collect hezek. There's some hezeks I can sue for, and some hezeks I can't sue for, but if I'm toe-face, I can collect. So maybe this is me din tfisa b'grama and tfisa b'boshes devarim. This would be a chiddush that Tosfos holds, that I can collect with tfisa through boshes devarim. But maybe that would be pshat in what Tosfos means by the hezek. Either you can be toe-face by grama and toe-face by boshes devarim. Tfisa by Grum is a big chiddush. It's not such a big chiddush. Tfisa by Boshes Devarim is a big chiddush. The other option is that just that, the other option maybe is that if it's a hezek, you know what? Okay, let's leave it for now, at least in that case. Correct, because there's a, exactly, right, correct. I should have pointed out. The reason why many Mishonim hold Tfisa works by Grum is because the Chiyuv Bidei Shamayim. If I damage you with grama, you can't sue me in earthly court, but I owe you b'dei shamayim. And this seems to be a sheet of Rashi and Tosfos many places, that whenever I owe you money b'dei shamayim, if you're toe-face, you can keep it. Now, to extend that to boshes, devarim is a big chiddush, right? To bring a shidduch. Really, I owe you money in shamayim? But maybe, and you could be toe-face. I mean, it's a little bit in the Dover Sof. But maybe that's what Tosfos means. You know, if not, it could be there are other ways, which we're not going to get to
sorry,
now.
We're all sorry, so.
That what?
That the boshes is mamash like a
mezzeh. Okay, you have to show it to me.
Or the other okay. Is to work with the mashkon.
Kick them gof HaDavar. Right, kick them gof HaDavar. Okay, doesn't work. Now, let's just see the other side of the coin. And of course, the, who else on the Russia side? The Rush, the Ravid, the Ritva, these all say, the Ritva is very explicit about it, I think the Ravid is also explicit about it, that this doesn't work. However, on the other side, the Ramban is very mefurish. The Ramban is very mefurish. And this is the Yesh Omrim in the Rush. The Rush quotes a Yesh Omrim, who's also, the Yesh Omrim is pretty explicit, and the Ramban is very mefurish that it does work, I do owe you money. By handing over a mashkon, I have created a debt, and I do owe you money. So that's one of those are the 2 days of the rush, basically. Is this a valid means of creating a debt? If I just want to give you $100 for your birthday and not be able to back out, and I say, I owe you $100, here's a mashkon, is that valid or not? The rush is saying not, and the Yeshom and the rush, the Ramban, is explicit that it is.
Does we keep saying that the Ritva and the Ravid are like the rush? I just want to know, how does Rabbi understand, at the very end of the Ritva, when he's quoting the Ravid, he quotes the lashon that would not be sufficient, according to the rush, and the Rabbi and Chaim Cohen, and what he says in the name of Rabbi Matan.
Right, so okay. That sounds like so the really Ksos says that's a Tos Sofer.
But that, okay.
The Ksos, in both the Ksos and the Lum in the bracket, says that's a Tos Sofer in the Ritva.
If I remember correctly, I saw like in a note, the Kilos Yaakov says it's not.
Yeah, obviously, you don't have to agree.
I'm just saying like some.
Okay, so give me a second there.
Give me a second there. So Lemaisa, so this is one sort of Yesod Machlokes. They're arguing nothing to do with Kedushin. They're arguing about the laws of Mashkon. Is this a way of creating a debt, or is this not a way of creating a debt? Right? The Yonatan keeps reminding me of this Lashon of the Ravid. Why? Right? If we ask why not, why doesn't it work? So, the simple pshat is because a mashkon can only be something that's tufel to a chov. Right? They hold like a mashkon is secondary to a chov. Right? A chov is what the Rishonim like to call shibud haguf. I personally owe you money. A mashkon is a very specific subcategory of shibud nechasim, right? There's a lien on property. It's stronger than a regular mortgage on property in that you're actually holding on to it, follow of kone mashkon. Right? Mm. But that's the standard understanding, right? The Rishonim basically and the Achronim assume, or just the Pashup Shat, is that the Pashup Shat is that you can't create Shibud Mashkon without a Shibud Hagof. All these things about my property owing you is only if I owe you, I can then add my property as a backup. But if I don't owe you money, then you can't talk about this creation of a mashkon and shibud and other things. If I don't owe you money, then what does it mean there's a mashkon? A mashkon on nothing. Now, Yonatan tells me that there's two besorahs of the Ravid. Ran quotes the Ravid as saying, but if I gave you this mashkon, I say, acquire the shear of a mana in this mashkon, then that's valid, because that's not saying mashkon, that's saying actually acquire the gufadavar. The Ritva quotes the Ravid is saying, if I give you a mashkon, I say acquire a shibud mana in this mashkon, then it's valid. Right? So the Ritva has this girsa within the Ravid that says, if I give you the money, the mashkon, say acquire shibud mana in this mashkon, it's valid. In which case, that's against the whole Yisod of the Ravid. The Ravid says you cannot. So there are two ways of dealing with this Ritva's version of the Ravid.
I also have shear in the Ritva.
What?
I also have shear.
Am I? Can you, 1 second. Maybe I'm mixing up the Ritva and the Ran.
I have a really old ktos though.
No. 1 second. I'll just look in the ktos. I apologize. Let me look in the ktos for one half a second. Says the the right. Oh, sorry. It's the Ran. Right. The Ran says. So the Ran says.
How is that better?
It's worse. Girsa Haran Baravid is that if I say Kinei Shibud Mane Bimashkon, it works. That seems to be a steward of the whole idea of the Ravid. The Ravid says, I can't give you a mashkon without a shibud haguf. And that's where the so says that's a wrong girsa. The right girsa is like in the Ritva, it should say kinei shir mana. And then I'm giving you guf hadavar. I'm not giving it to you as a mashkon, I'm giving it to you as a guf hadavar. I'm actually giving you $100 worth of this mashkon.
On the condition that I pay $100 back.
What?
You're saying, here's a shir mana in this mashkon.
Here's it, but I'm saying you actually own $100 worth of this mashkon.
I'm giving you back, meaning you're
No, you own $100. It's just that you own $100 worth and I own the rest, and therefore what are we going to do with it? So the answer is I can buy you out. It's a partnership with the right to buy you out. That's what I'm saying. So the Ksos says, so this is very difficult. I wasn't even going to bring it up. Yonatan didn't mention it. I don't want to take all this space now. Okay. Are there exceptions? So that's the shot. You can't create Shiva Mashkin without. Are there exceptions? So there are exceptions. The exception of what Tosos says, Hikna lo gofadavar. After all, instead of making it a mashkon, I can actually give you the gofadavar. That's perfectly fine. And the Ritva b'shem Ravid, who says, Hikna lo shir maneh b'mashkin, sheer mana bo, right? Knei b'mashkin the sheer mana. Then that makes sense. That's the same as Guf HaDavar. I'm saying don't acquire it just as a backup for something else. Acquire the Guf HaDavar. So these are the same thing. Equals. There's this funny Gersa, which the Ksos deals with, which is the Ran B'Shem Ravid says, but if I say, if he was Hikna Lo, Shibud Mane Bo, if I gave him a Shibud Mane and this, and that's valid. And that's where the Ktzos says that can't be true. The whole point is you can't make a Shibud Nechasan without a Shibud Haguf. And therefore he says that must be the wrong Gersa, and it must have meant like in the Ritva, just be in the Tos Sofer. The other option is to say that the Raiva thinks fundamentally you can make a Shibud Nechasan without a Shibud Haguf, just in a stomach you don't mean to unless you say so. And then that really changes this whole thing. So, again, this is the Pshat, or the Ravid, the Ran, the Shame Ravid, if it's not a mistake, which the Ksos claims it is saying that you can create Shibud Mashkon without Shibud Haguf, but only if you explicate, which is a funny shita, which I don't really like so much, is why I think so denies. He says, well, you can't create a Shibud Mana, a Shibud Nechasim without a Shibud Haguf. You can't create a Mashkon without a Shibud Haguf if you say that you want to. But Minastan, you can't, because most people don't want to. That's a little funny. That's why this writer is funny. He says, if I say, have a Shibud in this Mashkon, it works. It's a little funny, but even if I say, have a Shibud in this Mashkon, it works. Mm-hmm. The whole point is, you can't make a Shibud Mashkon if you don't owe the money. So, I like the Ktzos. It's a Tos Sofer. It should say, have a sheer money in this Mashkon. Then that works. I'm giving you a partnership and then go for a dover. But, if you really insist on keeping the Ron's gears on the right, then the right becomes a weird cheetah, which is that, well, Minastam, you don't mean to create a Shibud Mashkon, Shibud Mashkon without a Shibud Haguf, but if you say explicitly, you can. But I don't really love that, so let's leave that for now. Let's stick with the Pashup Shat. Right? Anyone who wants to skip everything but the Pashup Shat can do so. Let's just go for 1 second to what's the Pshat of the Ramban and the Yishomer and the Rush then? What do they hold? You can really have a Shibud Mashkon without a Shibud Haguf. There can be a Mashkon if you don't owe money. How can you have a Mashkon to money you don't owe? So here's where there's a bit of machlokas, the Amnon Milum quoted in brackets. What is the Svara? Here there are two pshatim in the Svaras. The Svara, why? So says the Amnon Milum, that's in brackets. I put three Amnon Milums in brackets just because they're all interesting. I'm not going to talk about all of them. But the one, this one is the first one. Sifkatan Yud. The Amnon Milum says, you can create what he calls Orev without Shibud Haguf. He quotes a weird Rashba that if I say I'll owe you money and Chesky says he's my guarantor, I don't owe you money, but he does. You can actually have an Orev without the original guy. You can have a backup without the original loan. Obviously, it's only in a weird case.
Wait, how does... I don't understand.
What was his weird case? His weird case is where it's an for me it's an Asmachdin, for him it's not.
Okay,
therefore I don't know the money and he does. Very funny. He says, basically, you can create an Arev without a Lova or a Shibud Mashkon without Shibud Haguf. You thought you could only have a Mashkon if there was a debt. No, you could have a pure Mashkon without a debt. Okay. The Kuntrasashir of Gustaman that I didn't put on the Makoros thinks differently. Of Rav Gustaman. Right? Who remembers Rav Gustaman from Brooklyn? Any Brooklyn people there? No?
Okay. My neighbor was a Talmud. My upstairs neighbor.
Okay, same. My sheriff was a Talmud in Brooklyn before he made Aliyah. Who's Rav Gustaman?
Yeah. I mean, you quote him a lot since he's a Talmud.
You have to read his Sfarim. It's really, they're amazing. He was, like, from the biggest Iluyim in Europe before the war, right? Rav Chaim Ozer put him on his best in when he was very young. And then he...
Early 20s. And then,
yeah, and then he you know, not very poshut. survived the Shoah. Not survived the Shoah, like he got someplace else first.
He went to
yeah, and it's a famous story, which we're not going to repeat now. And then he moved to Brooklyn, made a yeshiva in Brooklyn, and then he made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael and had a yeshiva still there in Rehovia. I think they mishapates the building a few years ago, Netzach Yisrael. Yeah. Yeah. Until a few years ago, it was the same building. No, it was recently.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying now they made it nice.
Right.
They
have children?
What?
They have children?
Don't know. And there's a famous story about a son who died in the Holocaust, but I don't know what the rest of his family was. That's just a famous story. The Kunsh Seishurim. So, says the Kunsh Seishurim, he says, no, their pshat is a little different. He says, their pshat is that Mesiras Mashkon is the Kunsh Seishurim in your Masivta?
No.
No, okay, probably someone else says there, right?
It might be the same, yeah. There's
I'm sure there's someone else who says okay, so, okay. Everyone has their favorites.
We'll see what you're going to say.
Okay, the Mesiras Mashkon creates a Shibud HaGof. Yeah, you can't have a Mashkon without a Shibud HaGof. But Mesiras Mashkon is a valid means of creating a Shibud HaGof. When I give you a Mashkon, that is not only, this is a big enough kamina, we'll see. When I give you a Mashkon, that is Mechayev. Not only creates a shibud on the mashkon, when I give you the mashkon, that's also mechayev me personally to pay. I now have a personal indebtedness.
Regardless of what was before.
Regardless of what was before. Just like you can create a debt through a kenyan suitor, according to everyone but the Rif. We didn't learn that Rif, but there's a Rif like that. Just like you can create a debt through shtar. Just like you can create a shibud in the chasim. A shibud go through Pesach. If you give me money, I owe you personally. If I run a shtar, I owe you personally. If I do a Kenyan Sudar, according to most Rishonim, I owe you personally. Likewise, giving you a mashkon is a way of symbolizing creation of a debt. Okay, why that is, we will come back to in a moment. So, according to Rabbanu Rashba, what is going on here? Basically, if I just say, Morty, I want to owe you $1 million. Or, I want to owe you $100. And here's a mashkon. Hold on to this to make sure I pay you $100. According to the Rush and Tosfos, nothing's been created. I don't owe you money. You have to give me back my iPhone immediately. You have nothing. According to the Rabban and the Rashbam, the Fidi Avim Yiluim, I don't owe you the money, but the iPhone does owe you the money. You have the right to hold on to it until you get the money. According to the Kunsh Seishurim, I actually owe you the money. Oh, what made me owe you the money? The Maisa, his kinyan of Mesiras Mashkon. And apparently, Mesiras Mashkon is able to symbolize not only a Shibud on the Mashkon, but symbolize my personal Shibud as well. Since I'm giving you a Mashkon, that symbolizes that I owe you money and creates a debt.
But okay. That seems the Achronim are arguing as to whether or not it's for the full debt or only for the iPhone.
Okay. So that's an interesting question. What if I say I'm going to owe you $1,000 and give you an iPhone? Right? An iPhone's not worth $1,000. How much is it worth?
Platinum ones.
Whatever. Let's say it's worth $100. So now do I owe you all $1,000? Maybe the nafkamina is. Maybe I owe you all $1,000. The other nafkamina could be, what if the mashkon is destroyed? If you assume that he's not chayv and unsim, right? According to Tosfos, he's not chayv and unsim. Right, so here there could be a nafkamina, right? Nafkamina is number one. What if the mashkon is $100? But I say $1,000. According to the Avnei Miluim, you only get 100. According to the Kuntra Se Shiurim, maybe you actually get $1,000. Right? Maybe you actually get $1,000. After all, maybe it's a valid means of creating a debt even more than the Mashkon. And the other Nafkamina is, what if the Nevad Hamashkon Beones, according to Tosos and the Rif and the Rambam and most Rishonim who hold there's no Chiv Onsim by a Mashkon, right? According to most Rishonim, no Chiv Onsim by a Mashkon. And as a matter of fact, the Shas Halvaso, maybe all Rishonim hold there's no Chiv Onsim, or pretty close to that. Never a Mashkon Beones, according to the Amnei Miluim, I'm Potter. I gave you a Shibud on the Mashkon. If the Mashkon's gone, I don't owe you anything. According to the Kuntra Se Shiurim, I'm still chayiv. So these are two different ways of understanding why the Rabban and Rashba disagree with, or what's called the Yesh Omer in the Rush, disagree with the Russian Tosfos, either because I can create a mashkon without a shibud haguf, but then it's only the amount of the mashkon, and only as long as the mashkon is here. Or because, no, giving a mashkon is a way of symbolically being meshavet my guf. When I give you a mashkon, I'm showing that I want to personally be meshavet to you. And then maybe I can even be meshavet for more than the value of the mashkon. And if the mashkon is destroyed, through no fault of yours, I still owe you the money. Okay, let's leave this first, nafkamina, and Zev, I'm going to need your help. Go to the obvious second nafkamina. Just give Zev a moment here. Actually, hold on for a second. What I would say is don't go back. L'chora, the Itter and the Rambam would agree with this pshat, right? The Itter and the Rambam, meaning 4 and 3. Why do I say that? The Itter says it would work if I gave it to you at the time. Why? Obviously, it creates an indebtedness. The Rambam might imply it would work if I said what I was doing. Obviously, it creates an indebtedness. Okay. Now, just for a second, the other nafkamina. And, I'll erase here.
When did you say that the Rambam issue was the Amira?
Yeah, but if I had done a proper Amira, then it would have worked. So that shows that I owe you the money. Nafkamina Bays is... how about the following interesting question? What if I for sure create a valid indebtedness? Anyone want to tell me a way that if I want to owe money to... Who do I trust here? All right. I want to owe money to Ben. It's a shtar amana and shtar pasim. Don't try to collect it. I want to owe money to Ben. Is there a surefire way that I could really make sure that I owe him the money validly? What would I do?
Borrow money.
He doesn't want to lend me money. I want to owe money stam. No, Kenyan Suda doesn't work more into the riff. I write a star. If I write a star, that's valid. I write a star, I owe money. That's valid. Right? Okay, after according to Rish Lakish, we don't know, but for sure, halachically, it's valid. So what if I am... What if I do Kiddushin by giving the Isha... a shtar that I owe her money. What if I'm a Kaddish and Isha with a shtar that says I owe her money? Is that valid or not? Who should obviously say that that is not valid? Which shita is obviously saying that's not valid?
The Ramban
and the Rashba. What's the whole point? That I have to do a full nesina and be separated from the money lagamri. Over here, I'm still holding on to the money. What do you mean? It's very nice she has a piece of paper, but I'm still holding on to the money. I haven't done a proper nesina. Why haven't done nesina? It's very nice she got indebtedness, but I'm still holding the money. Right? Even if I owe her the money and give her a mashkon, it's not a nesina because I'm connected to the money in the mashkon. For sure. So that's another pasha, and the Rashbas says this, and he chazes the fact that he said in Daf Hey Amad Aleph also, and he says it on Daf Tes Zayin Amad Aleph, which I think I put in brackets as well. So, if you take the approach of the Ramban and the Rashba, then obviously Eina Mikudeshes, because that's the whole point. It has to be in a Sina where it's not staying by me at all, where I'm not still holding on to the money at all, right? Because it's not a full nesina. That's their whole shot. That's mana inkan, mashkon inkan. In this case, they would just call it mana inkan. Right? That's pashut, not mekudeshes. And this is what the Rashba says explicitly. The Rashba says this on Daf Hei Amud Aleph, on Daf Ches Amud Beis, and on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. What do I mean by these three things? On Hei Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, shtar works for pidyon hekdesh, but doesn't work for kiddushin. What kind of shtar? So Rashi says, shtar that I owe you the money. Shtar works for kiddushin and not for pidyon hekdesh. Shtar doesn't work for pidyon hekdesh, and that's why we're not sure if we can learn it to kiddushin. So what kind of shtar doesn't work for pidyon hekdesh? Rashi says, shtar that I owe you the money. Rashi says, that's silly. Shtar that I owe the money doesn't work for Kiddushin either. Obviously, you're talking about a kind of shtar that maskana works for Kiddushin. So the Rashi says, a shtar that says I owe your money. Here, I'm giving you a check. I write the girl a check. And I write the girl a check that doesn't say Lemutav Bilvad, right? So I can't cancel it. There's Smichas Das. Right? I write her a check for $1 million. And I have $1 million even. Right? So the Rashi says, of course that doesn't work. I haven't given her anything yet. Mana Inkan. And the Rashi says the same thing here. And the Rashi is saying that it's Zayin Man Aleph. The Gemara there says, oh, it would work if an Eved Ivri wanted to free himself. He would just write a star that, like, if it's $100 he was sold for, he'll write a star that owes the guy $100. And the Rashi says, of course that doesn't work. That's only a Havin Gemara. That doesn't work. That's not a Kinyan Kesef. Right? Because it's not a full Nesina and it doesn't count as a Kinyan. However, the Ritva says Mefurish, according to the other Pshatim, 1, 3, 4, meaning the Rambam, if we're right, and the Itter, and the Rush, etc., right? The Rush, and the Ravid, and the Ritva, and maybe the Rambam, and the Itter, we might think that it would work, right? The problem was a mashkon is not a valid way of creating an indebtedness. But a shtar is a valid way of creating indebtedness. So maybe it should work, right? Maybe. Mekudeshes. Maybe it is Mekudeshes. The reason I say maybe is because they're talking about a mashkon and here I'm talking about a mashkon, so it's not exactly the same. And that is mefurash in the Ritva here. The Ritva here says mefurash it works. The Ritva here is mefurash that it works. Says the Ritva here. When he's taking the side of the Rush, if I can find. Yes, I found the Ritva. The Ritva is on the Dalim. I'll look at it here. The Ritva's here. Says the Ritva. Aval in the schariv lamana bekinyan because of kitchimo. If he makes a kinyan sooner to owe her money and using that for kedushin, then that was out of context. Here we are. Aval shiva didesh schariv bekinyan over star glow enough from the klum have it. Yeah, okay, here it is. Aval in the sky will money be Kenyan because of Kishwo Shalokim and Sade, Ishim Kudeshes, the Sade Mechura. Yeah, that was the line. If he makes a Kenyan Suda or a Star, earlier he said Star, and clearly, if he makes a Kenyan Suda or a star and says you can kadesh me with this money that I'm now owing you the money, now you have an indebtedness on me, that's valid. And then he says you could also put a mashkon on that, but even without a mashkon, that's valid. So the Ritva says mefurish, and there's a diuk in Rashi on Daf Hey Amin Aleph that way as well. What did Rashi say on Daf Hey Amin Aleph? Star doesn't work for pidyon hekdesh. If you just write a star, I owe you the money. So we don't know if we can learn to kedushin. In the end, we do learn kedushin. If you just read the parallel at that time, at what we learned off, hey, we had two deus, whether to be daik and Rashi. But if you read daik and Rashi, the shtar that doesn't work in Hekdesh in the end works in Kedushin. So, shtar that I owe you money does work in Hekdesh, but it works in Kedushin. So the Ritva is very explicit, and Rashi and Daf Heim and Aleph is Meduyak, that if I go to a girl and say, I'm just like, how much is the check? Right? You don't need any weird things from 1500 years ago. I go to a girl and say, Harei Kedeshus Li with $1,000, here's a check. And no mutav bilvad, not even a cross, you know, like a real, real good check. She collect the money. I for sure have $1,000 in the bank, you know. Even if I don't have $1,000 in the bank, a check is a real. I have overdraft, and even if I don't have overdraft, a check is a real star chov. She can go to Hotel Apoel, and they'll come and they'll take my furniture, right? And I'll pay the expense, the fee for Hotel Apoel, not her, right? And Hotel Apoel works in this country. You don't mess with it. They even have debtor's prison, I think. I think they still have debtor's prison. I'm not sure. Certainly at least as of a couple years ago. Now, so this is a big nafgamina. Why? Because for the Ramban of the Rashba, this is exactly what money income, mashkin income means. It's a chisorin in the Maisa Kiddushin that I'm not fully giving. Because I'm still attached to it. According to the Rashba, that's not what it means. It meant there wasn't a valid debt created. But if you create a valid debt, Maybe that's a perfectly good kiddushin. So again, we have two pshatim, two basic pshatim. You know, if you don't count the Rambam as a real pshat, this possible Rambam as a real pshat, he was just saying you messed up how you said it, but it would work. The Iftar says you messed up the order you did it, but it would work. But if you take the two pshatim that it really doesn't work under any circumstances, it doesn't work bechlal, even if you said it right, even if I said, Hariyam Kadeshously, Bechiyav Mane, Bimashko, Al Mashkon Zen, I give it to her right away, it still doesn't work. Then there are two pshatim, either because you haven't created indebtedness, or because it's not a valid Maisa Kiddushin. Okay, nafkamina is, can you create an indebtedness without Kiddushin? The Rosh says no, and the Ramban and Rosh will say yes. Nafkamina is, can you do Kiddushin if you have a valid indebtedness to a different modality, such as Shtar? The Ramban and Rosh will say no, and the Ritva says yes. And maybe the Rosh and the Ravid would, and the Ramban and the Itter would agree, yes, this actually works well for the Karban Asanel. The Karban Asanel, I'm sure this is not why he said it, Karban Asanel, said Rashi held like the Rush. Then it works well. If Rashi held like the Rush, the problem is you haven't created an indebtedness. But Lu Yitzu, you could create an indebtedness, that would be a valid Kiddushin. And then Rashi works out Lashitasa and Nafheim and Aleph. Of course, it's a weak Lashitasa because it's only what some Achronim say in Rashi here, and it's only Diyuk there, but still, at least for the Karban Asanel, it works out very well. Okay, that's what we have to say about the very beginning of the sugya. The continuation of the sugya. We're not going to have time to finish today somehow. I'll just point out very briefly that when it comes to Mashkon Da'acherim, which works, there seems to be some ambiguity. Question is whether this is an important ambiguity or not an important ambiguity about how Mashkon, what is the Cheftza, what is the Kesef Kiddushin in the case of Mashkon Da'acherim? We're not going to get to Rabbi Yitzchak now, sorry to say. But what is the Kesef Kiddushin in B'mashkon da'acherim mikudeshes? What is the chefta of kesef kiddushin in the case of mashkon da'acherim? What did the Rambam say? Remember we read the Rambam? What did the Rambam say? Mashkon. If you had a mashkon da'acherim kiddushin, boom, mikudeshes, because you have a mixed kinyan in this mashkon. Says the Rambam, the mashkon. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says the mashkon's only yours if the guy never pays in the end and you collect it. But what if the guy pays? Then the mashkon is never yours. So he says, oh, but what's the chefta shel? What are you mekadesh with? Not the mashkon, he says. But look at that from Zayin on Beis, the chov. Right? The Ramban says, the chov. Ah, so if you're mekadesh with the chov, what do you need a mashkon for? Just say I'm a kaddish with the chov. Why do you need a mashkon? Just say Chaim Yankel owes me money. I'm a kaddish with the money Chaim Yankel owes me. Why do you need a mashkon?
That gives her the dashi.
What?
It gives her the dashi.
Yes.
For two reasons. A, how do you transfer a chov? Right? How do you transfer a chov? It's not so possible to transfer a chov. So mashkon is a way to transfer a chov. And B, what's the main? There are two problems that I'm saying. Number one, how do you transfer a chov? Number two, can I still cancel the chov? Again, not Chaim Yankel. Can I cancel the chov, mochel the chov, after I gave it to you? If I transfer you the mashkon, that prevents me from being mochel the chov. Right, so that's pashut shat, and you need mashkon for a mode of transfer. Chov, not the mashkon.
Why can't you just say?
For a mode of transfer, and to prevent mechiba. What?
Why can't you just say it?
Say what? Did I transfer Chaim Yankel's debt to you?
Yeah.
Because that's not halachically valid. It's within the rules of Choshev Mishpat, that's not a valid kinyan.
Okay.
Unless it's Mamash Shloshan, unless we're all standing here, then we pask, it's Machlok somewhere and we pask in it is. But if he's not, he's usually not standing here. By Mamash Shloshan it works, that's different. But if he's not standing here, it doesn't work. Okay, the Me'iri brings down a Machlok about this. What?
The Rashba says that you're...
Give me a second. I'm allowed to go whatever order I want, no?
Okay.
What does Rashi say? Rashi says here, "B'maskun dachirim shayi biyado kitcha bechov sheyesh lo alav." Rashi sounds like it's a matter of the chov sheyesh lo alav.
Yeah, the second half of Rashi sounds.
And then the second half of Rashi is a little tricky. He says why? Because the mashkon aspen is kanila. Because you're giving her the mashkon. She's owning the mashkon, so therefore it's valid if you're mekadesh with the chov she has on her. Right. So Rashi is a little funny. Says Rashi, chov, and then. Because mashkon is kanoila, why didn't mashkon kanoila? If you're mekadesh her with the chov, is a little tricky.
If you're gores and rashi low, does that make things better?
Is there a girsa like that?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I'm not sure because still, right? I'm not sure how much better it makes it. So I'll just the Meiri actually brings down a machlokus about this. The Meiri says you could say either way. You could say chov or mashkon. However, the Gedolei Hadoros disagree. Gedolei Hadoros sometimes means the Ramban. Could mean the Rashba, but sometimes mean the Ramban. Apparently the Ramban disagrees. So let's just chazer this. The reason I don't want to start with this next time is because this is a very slippery kind of svaras here. It's very hard to put your finger on. So let's just point out. Here we have the Meiri says, you can say Chov, or mashkon. It works either way. You can say it with the chov, you can say it with the mashkon. However, the gedolei hadoros are mechalik. L'chora, what are they mechalik? L'chora, I'm associating that with the Ramban. Equals Ramban, l'chora, says, if you say mashkon, doesn't work. It doesn't work. If you say chov, it works. Why? Because there's no kinyan gummer in the mashkon. There's no kinyan gummer because it's not a kinyan gummer. That's what we'll pick up the next time. It's not a kinyan gummer. But the Meiri says you can say the chov or you can say the mashkon. And you can say the chov or the mashkon. And it could be the Rambam would agree with this as well. The reason is because the Rambam elsewhere says by transferring chov I can be kudeshah. So I assume there's no chisorin in chov. L'chora, the Rambam agrees. He mentions saying mashkon, but in six halachos earlier, he says you could also be mekadesh with a chov if you could do a valid transfer. So l'chora would work either way. L'chora it would work either way. The question is why, right? Why does it work if you? What's the basis of the machlokes? So here I could get into three possibilities. Either number one, although this is a bit of a chiddush, number one, you could say that the Baal Chov is kone amashkon kinyan gomer. That's the rid. The rid says you're kone kinyan gomer, it's yours. Right? I mean, he doesn't say quite that many words, although in the Sefer Achriya, the rate he does. Then, a Baal Chov is a total kinyan, or, as the Rambam says, he says, no, you're Mekansha v'niktas kinyan sheyesh lo al hamashkon. You're Mekansha the Miktas kinyan. Who says you need to fully own something Mekansha with it? Maybe you can have... And the Rashba and the Ritva are a little funny here. You could tell me if I'm reading them right or wrong. It's a little hard. But what the Rashba and the Ritva say is that even if you say you're Mekadosh with the Mashkon, what you mean is the right and the Mashkon to be go for the Chov. After all, the Mashkon means the Chov. So that's they say, yeah, of course, I'm Mekadosh could be Mekadosh with the Chov. And if I say the Mashkon, what do I mean? The Shibud and the Mashkon, then I can collect the Chov. So therefore, it really means the same thing. That's what the Rashba and the Ritva seem to say. Ritva say that even if I say mashkon, the mashkon is just the way to collect the chov. So I really mean, not that I'm giving you this mashkon forever, I mean I'm giving you the right in this mashkon to collect the chov, and I'm giving you the chov. The Reb Chaim, the Sefer Yonas Elam, which is by Apparently he was like supposed to be the biggest up-and-coming Lamdan in Europe before the war. Unfortunately, he was killed in the Shoah because he didn't go to Shanghai with the mayor. He thought he made a different decision. And he brings down a Masor from Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim says, Inder Maskum Lik Dechov. I don't speak Yiddish, but I think it means
good.
That.
That's good.
The chov lies in the mashkon. I think what Rav Chaim is saying is that when you have a mashkon, the entire chov is encapsulated in the mashkon.
It's not necessarily so. There are too many variables.
Okay, but
you
so
even determine if you could really sell
so
the mashkon.
Let me. Okay, good. So let's leave that as the bridge to next time. Maybe remember Rashi had a funny lashon. He says you mekadesh with the chov because you're giving her the mashkon. Is it the chov or the mashkon? Maybe that's where Chaim says, no, no, no. And when there's a chov with the mashkon, in the mashkon lies the chov. I don't know what lick means.
Lays.
That's what I thought. I think what he means is this. Usually, we say, when there is a shibud aguf, there's sort of tuffel to that. The backup for that is the shibud nechasim. Maybe that's when there's no mashkon. Right? You could collect my field theoretically, but it's still my field. So I just shiva to go off on the side. But maybe there's a mashkon, the chov is different. The ikr is the mashkon. I gave you the mashkon. The ikr is the shiva nechas on the mashkon. The tafel is the shiva to go off. But maybe in that case, the ikr chov is the mashkon. The mashkon holds the ikr of the chov. That might explain the kunsh shiurim, how I can create a shiva to go off by giving you the mashkon, because the shiva to guf is tuffel to the mashkon. You also were Rami's too. If I transfer a mashkon, does that transfer shiva to guf?
Right.
That would be Rav Chaim. And that might explain the lashon of Rashi. And maybe that would also underlie, like this Rashba and Ritva, when I say the mashkon, I really mean the chov. Because the mashkon is the ikr of the chov. And as opposed to a normal chov, where the ikr is shiva to guf, and the tuffel is shiva nechasim, I think what Rav Chaim is saying is the ikr is shiva nechasim, and the tuffel is shiva to guf, and we'll just end with this. We'll just end with this. Reb Chaim says, Reb Chaim in the mashkon lays the chov. What he means, I'm translating to my words, is that the shibud mashkon is the ikar and the shibud haguf is tafel to it. And that might explain this. This is a famous Masorah. I heard this Masorah when I was a kid. I only recently looked around, like last week, and realized that it was from the Yonas Ella. I just, you know, heard it around YU. Is that A, this would explain maybe the strange lashon of Rashi. Why does it say you're Mekadesh with the Chov? Because she owns the Mashkon. Because the Chov is in the Mashkon. This maybe would explain the Rashba and the Ritva, although it's not really necessary. Who say, yeah, even if I say I'm being kaddish to the mashkon, I'm really transferring the chov. Although that could just be pashut common sense. It's not really necessary. And that might explain the kuntros eshiurim. How can I create a shibud aguf by giving a mashkon? Acts, when I give a mashkon, the shibud aguf flows from the shibud nechasim, right? Mashkon creates shibud aguf. You don't have to say that. You could just say it's a symbolic way of showing that I owe you. And as Chaim pointed out, according to most Achronim, if I transfer Chaim Yankel's mashkon, I also transfer the shibud aguf. What made me transfer the shibud aguf? You could just say, it's a ma'aseh kinyan, right? That's what Chaim Yankel said. Most people against the nesivos hold that. Not Chaim Yankel, Chaim. Yes. So, this is a most poskim. Nesivos thinks otherwise. But most poskim assume, D, Rov poskim assume that transferring mashkon transfers the shibud haguf as well. Like when I give the woman Chaim Yankel's mashkon, Chaim Yankel actually owes her a guf also. She doesn't just get the mashkon. Chaim Yankel mamash owes her money. None of these are necessary. You don't have to say like Reb Chaim, but there is this Masorah from Reb Chaim that inter mashkon lichter chov. The only Yiddish sentence I know. In the last 20 years, the 30 years, the only Yiddish sentence I've ever known is inter mashkon lichter chov. And what he means is, I think, the shibud haguf is tafel to the shibud nechasim, and that might have four rayos from our sugya. Rashi's strange lashon, which starts with chov and ends with mashkon. The Rashba and the Ritva, although there's very lot of dafku, who say Yeah, when I'm being kashrut mashkin, I really mean the chov, although that could just be common sense. And the kunch se shiurim that says, I create a shibra guf by giving you a mashkon, unless it's just stamp symbolic. And likewise, most poskim against the nesivos, who say, when I transfer you Chaim Yankel's mashkon, I also transfer you the personal indebtedness of Chaim Yankel. Everyone against the nesivos. Also, could just say, it's a ma'isa kinyan symbolically, but you could say it works with Reb Chaim. We will come back to Reb Chaim, Mirtz Hashem, next time when we discuss the din of Reb Yitzchak. So we're finished with Kiddushin now, pretty much. Next time we're going to discuss the din of Reb Yitzchak and go on in the Gemara.
So where did you get up to?
I got up to, I did three, I didn't do four.
Okay.
So what does the Nesiva say in this case?
He says that when I transfer Chaim Yankel's mashkon, you can only collect from this mashkon.